Now, for Australians living with permanent and significant disability, the National Disability Insurance Scheme reflects a life-changing development in their access and personal choice for the supports they need to lead their best lives. Given that, like everyone else, disabled people come from all sorts of backgrounds, it makes sense then that there would be a plan so that everyone could access the benefits of the new system. Well, however, nearly 2 years since the national rollout began, an NDIS strategy has only recently been released for working with diverse communities. Speaking with us about the strategy this morning, we're joined on the line by Dwayne Cranfield, CEO of the National Ethnic Disability Alliance. Dwayne, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me. It's lovely to be here.
So for a little bit of a background, could you tell us some of the barriers that do face disabled people from diverse backgrounds?
Look, people from diverse backgrounds, first I've got to start with Australia really is a country and a nation based on migration. And we had a huge influx of migration many, many years ago, and that's continued all the way through from convict times and all the way through to present day. So the face of Australia isn't your kind of white, you know, suburban Australian. It's a diverse country of diverse languages and people. In Canberra itself, we speak over 200 languages in Canberra alone, and my organisation's Canberra base, which gives you an idea of the diversity of the community. So when you look at that kind of diversity and you kind of come back to, you kind of drag it back to disability, you look at the fact that, you know, culture, language, place of birth, literacy, all of those things come into play when we start dealing with people from non-English speaking backgrounds or from culturally and linguistically diverse communities. So all those things have a significant part to play in how people engage, how they react, how they participate, how they get their information about a process, how they buy in. So in Australia, those issues are incredibly important when you start looking at the diversity of the nation that we have.
And so you mentioned you guys are Canberra-based. You are the CEO of the National Ethnic Disability Alliance. Could you tell us a little bit about your work with the NDIS on the strategy for people from diverse backgrounds?
Yeah, NIDA is a national peak. So we're funded by DSS, the Department of Social Services, essentially to give them policy advice on issues pertaining to disability, with our particular bent being culturally and linguistically diverse people. So we're funded to do that. We spend a lot of our time working with government, with ministers, with senators, with crossbenchers in order to try and propagate areas and issues of thought around areas of disability that make sure that the people we represent are incorporated. So NIDA's been engaged very early on with the NDIS. We've been engaged in the process of helping to formulate legislation. We've reviewed legislation. We've reviewed quality and safeguards. We've been a part of all of those processes as part of the national peaks. There are four national peaks in Australia. And that's the kind of work that we've done. More recently, we've done work around languages. So it's at some point a little while back, the NDIA, who's the governing body of the NDIS, came to us and said, look, we're needing to put out some information sheets on the NDIS, and we've picked these. We refer to them as the magic six or seven languages. And that's normally what happens. Organisations or government go, oh, we're just going to put them out in the magic six languages. We've done a survey and these are the top six or seven. Well, they might be the top six or seven in Sydney or Melbourne Metro, but they're not in Darwin or WA or Tasmania. So we did a whole lot of work for the NDIA and came back with the top 20 languages across the country. And we'd broken it down into LGA, so local government area, and also electorate. And we gave them that information. And we told them these are the languages that you need to be looking at. And that became 21 languages that we started looking at. And so we did some work with our membership organisations, which are people with disability and workers with disability at the coalface, to review the documents that were presented by government and to have them translated into various languages, into those languages. Then we had people from those language groups with disability review those documents and see how well they tracked and how they worked, made changes to them based on what they thought needed to be changed, and then presented them back to government so that now that those documents will be in those languages. So that's some of the work that we've done recently with the NDIA, and that's been really, really good work. Prior to that, there was a period when we realised that there was no real strategy about four or so years ago for people with disability from the cold community. So NIDA, with the help of an external stakeholder, formulated a reference group, which was made up essentially of our membership and some other key stakeholders within the multicultural space, and worked with the NDIS and the NDIA to help them develop a national strategy. And that just recently got released. And that was all a bit odd how that happened. But I think you guys have got a press release we put out about that some time ago. We weren't very happy with the final result. But we were engaged, and so were our membership in discussions with the department for about 4 years and reviewing that process and the document and the tool that would become strategy. Yeah.
It's some absolutely brilliant work. Could you tell us a little bit more about why you weren't so pleased with the strategy that did wind up coming out?
Well, we'd all worked on this strategy with the department for about 4 years, and it had been an up and down process. It had been difficult. If I could say at the time that their level of interest was fairly, I think, minimal. They had so many other fights to fight within that space. I mean, the NDIS, I have to say, is the biggest social reform we've had in this country, you know, since the 70s, since Medicare. And that changed and evolved and had a name change and all of those things as well. I mean, these things aren't easy things to bring into space. But what happened with this was we'd all worked on it, and we'd eventually, after 4 years, had gotten to the point where every member of the group was happy with the tool, because essentially it's a tool, is how it stood, and we were quite happy with it. And then we'll keep on pressing the government, well, when are we going to release this strategy? When's it going to happen? We need to do this. While we're having those discussions, they released a pathways process for people with disability from coal community to a pathway in. And I came back to the department and said, how can you have a pathway when you don't have a strategy? It's a bit cart before the horse. And they kind of raised an eyebrow, and, you know, behind closed doors, said, no, you're 100% right. But this is what's happened. Still no strategy had been released. We kept on pressing and pressing and pressing. And then eventually, without any consultation with us or any of the other members of that group, released the strategy. Now, what had happened was they'd said that the strategy had actually gone back to the NDIA board for consultation after we'd all signed off on it. And then the hold-up was that the NDIA was making changes to it because they wanted to make some changes to it, and they made changes to it without discussing it with those stakeholders that helped develop it. So that essentially has been released without final sign-off or any kind of work by us to see how well it fits within its space. And and there are some misgivings there, and we kind of allude to that in a press release we put out some time ago, that there are some things that are missing, some things that have been changed, and I think for us the lack of consultation in that process was really, really annoying, and we want to see it have a proper launch as well. We want to see it kind of go out there and be celebrated, a working version of it, so that the coal community know about it, and they know how to access it and how to get a part of it and how to buy into it. So we want this to be, we just don't want a soft launch quietly here around the corner. What we want is a fanfare so that people can buy in, because the issue that we've got is that if 20% of the cohort of the NDIS is culturally and linguistically diverse, at the moment, we've got probably a low mark of 3% and a high mark of 6% of people from coal communities are actually accessing the scheme. So that's the problem that we've got. Coal communities just aren't into it. So they don't even know about it. You know, they don't hear about it. They don't know about it. They're suspicious about it. They're suspicious of government. So for us, you know, it's about having a tool that is recognised and seen by the community and is able for them to access it.
And I've only got a couple of minutes left with you, Duane, but before I let you go, how do we move forward from here? What do you think is the best way forward?
Well, we're still pressing the government, and that's our job as a national peak. We're not there to be yes people. You know, we're there to push government and to challenge them on this kind of stuff and to say, you know, this isn't good enough. And we'll continue to do that and continue to work with them to get that to happen and for that to go to launch. But I think the coal community, you've got to start also standing up, and you've got to go to your leaders within your communities and talk about this as well. But I think in saying that, I think what we need to remember when we start talking about the NDIS is it's only for 470,000-480,000 people at the moment with a disability. There's another 1.5, 2 million people in Australia with a disability that will get absolutely nothing from the NDIS. And so I think that we've got to look at it within context, and we've got to look at other mechanisms for those people that don't buy into it, how they supported and how they looked after and how they managed that those people have English as a second language and are culturally linguistically diverse, because we forget about that. There's a lot of talk around the NDIS, but we have to realise that it is a small proportion of the disability community.
Well, you guys do absolutely brilliant work. Dwayne, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for having me. Anytime. Happy to talk about anything that is disability related or culturally, linguistically diverse and disability related. Anytime.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That was Dwayne Cranfield, CEO for the National Ethnic Disability Alliance, having a chat with us this morning about the NDIS and how accessible it really is for people who perhaps English is not their first language. We have a very diverse country. We are very lucky here in Australia.